Now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist Susan Frank.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wild About Pets. This is the show where we talk about pets and wild animals. Today, we're going to talk about cats, the domestic kind. And you can see some pictures of the animals we're going to be talking about and a photo of the guest speaker by clicking the Look While You Listen button that is here at TalkZone.com. Or if you happen to be in my website, wildaboutpets.net, just go to the Look While You Listen feature and you can get right to our page of photos today. If you are a cat owner, you know your cat loves you, but you also probably experience that when it comes to following your commands, cats do exactly what they want to do. You see, according to my guest today, the author and comedian Molly Brandenburg, being cats, they have perfectly good reasons, or excuses, she might say, for not obeying us. And if we learn meow speak, as she does, it becomes so much easier to accept this reality. We'll talk about some of these excuses, how our cats actually own us, not the other way around, and spend a lighthearted hour sharing stories and insights about cats' behavior that may baffle us, but as every cat owner knows, always makes us laugh. Welcome, Molly Brandenburg. I am delighted to have you here on the show today.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Let me tell you a little bit about Molly, everyone. She is a writer, cartoonist, and comedy performer. Her work has been published in the alternative press, newspapers, and major corporate media. Everyday Cat Excuses is her first book of cartoons. And again, she is the author of the book Everyday Cat Excuses, Why I Can't Do What You Want. Molly, so regarding the behavior where a cat stands by the open door and seems like they can't decide if they want to go outside or stay inside or go outside, do you have any insight into why they do this or what's the excuse?
Well, I've had to start, it's funny because not all my cats do it, but I've had a couple that do it constantly. It's sort of the making the person into your own personal butler.
Yes.
Routine. Actually, though, I think what I've read about it, and it does make sense. I mean, cats are predators, of course, and they're very, very adept and very interested in making sure they know what's going on out there in their territory. And I think, you know, and they're using all their senses, their hearing and their sense of smell are so acute. I think they're checking out the territory, and they need to do that a lot to make sure nobody's encroaching on them. I believe that's what it is, but it's, you think for us, you'd go, you'd look outside, oh, it's a cat there, come in for 5 hours, but I think, you know, they might have some suspicion, somebody might be out there trying to take some of the mice that are in my territory, I gotta check it again, I gotta go, and you know, all this marking with all that kind of thing. I mean, they've got a job to do out there, and they're very serious about it. And I noticed, I mean, my cat, we've got one of our black and white cats, Angel, is a female, and she's a real sharp cookie, and I noticed she needs to do that the most. You know, I think she's just making sure everybody's okay around here. She's got to protect us from whatever's out there, I guess. We do have a couple possum out there. She might be checking on them.
Sure. My sister has a cat, Andy, and what Andy will do is as she opens the door, Andy will stand right in the door frame. And just stand there. And so I think every cat owner is like, okay, they start talking to the cat, are you in or out? But they just stand there. And it keeps the owners just waiting.
It's just nutty. I mean, for us, I mean, it's great if you can get a cat door with just the little, you know, the little flap on there. But I mean, it's funny, where I live, I can't. I'm renting. I can't get a cat door in here, but we had the last place we were living, I looked one day at the screen door and I noticed there was a cat-sized hole in the screen that Angel had. She'd made her own cat door.
Oh, no. And you know, I hear dogs
to hop in and out all day.
You know, I hear that dogs often will problem solve and they can see a way to get out and they'll go through screens. I've never heard of a cat doing that.
Yep, she did it. I mean, this cat, she figured out how to turn on the water faucet. and get in the refrigerator and get stuff. I mean, it's like the cat's too smart.
Oh, yeah. Clever Angel. There is a picture of Angel, by the way. As I mentioned, everyone, you can go to my Look While You Listen feature and click on that button, and you'll go right to the page of photos. And Angel is pictured, if you are on that site, a number 7. And if you can't see the photos right now, let's say if you're at work and you can't break away, my show is archived, and so at any time you can go into my website, wildaboutpets.net, and call up those photographs and listen to the show at that point. So if you are there, yes, we're looking at Angel, which is a black and white cat that I understand drives Frankie, one of your other cats, crazy.
Well, Frank, I've had Frank for, it's going on 12 years now. And he's, you know, he's the big bad boy around here, and he's the boss. And it's funny how, I mean, I think cats can be very loyal and get very attached to people. I've had that experience. I mean, people just say that about dogs. But cats, I mean, they attach in a different way. But this cat got so attached to me, and he's just wonderful. But he doesn't really like anyone else at all. My little daughter, I wanted her to have a pet that got attached to her, so we went. We got Angel as a kitten on Craigslist. I found her picture on Craigslist. I wanted a black and white female kitten, and we found her and brought her home, and she started driving him crazy, but it's kind of a good crazy. But, you know, it was funny, one of the pet adoption people I talked to said, oh, you have an older cat and then you got a kitten. You should get one more kitten so the two will keep each other company and the older one will have a little bit more peace of mind. And I thought, I'm not going to get another kitten. But then we eventually did get another kitten, and it worked out great. I wanted to just say that if somebody's got a quandary with an older and a young pet, I mean, that worked very well for us. And the two young ones adjusted to each other immediately, and you know, they horse around, and the older one gets to rest.
Yes, sure.
Domestic happiness around here.
What's the name of the second kitten that you got?
Her name is Ava.
Oh, okay.
Tabby, beautiful little tabby. We were up in Oregon visiting, and my mother took my daughter to a really nice pet shelter up there. It's called Cats in Southern Oregon. And actually, I had just found out I was getting the book. The contract for my book was being signed, and so we fell in love with Ava, and I thought, well, we better celebrate. We better get one more kitten. And she was already named Ava by the pet shelter people, and so we have Frank and Ava, and they fell in love, and they sleep on my bed all the time.
Yes, and of course you're referring to Frank Sinatra and Ava Gardner,
yeah.
Aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect.
It's meant to be, Frank and Ava.
Yes. Very coincidental. We're going to be talking about Frankie later and how instrumental a cat he was in your book and publishing. Yeah. But I want to call attention to the cover of your book, which again we have on my site here, Everyday Cat Excuses. And you can see, everyone, some of the little captions that Molly uses for some of the excuses, like, look, I'm busy, pal, or I've got a hairball, okay? But Molly, let's talk some more about some of the excuses that you find that felines come up with for not obeying us. What are some of your favorites that you've noticed?
Well, this is terrible, but I swear the hairball. I mean, if you've never had a cat and all of a sudden, I mean, it's just a natural process. They're so clean, and they're always cleaning themselves, so that keeps them very busy, the cleaning themselves. But once in a while, they get too much hair in their stomach, and they've got to get rid of it. But I had this one cat, and I thought, oh, my God, what's wrong? I thought she was having a stroke. I thought she was going to expire. She was trying to get rid of the hairball. And 10 minutes of wheezing, and, oh, my God, keeps them quite busy.
Actually, you know what? I had a cat, and Willie was his name, and I have that in picture number 5, and I never once in the 19 years and some months that I had this cat, saw him cough up a hairball.
Well, that's good. I didn't have to see it. I had this cat named Boots, and she moved in with me. I lived up in the Hollywood Hills, and it was kind of fun. She was a great cat, and black and white cat, and she couldn't really go out. There wasn't really a way for her to go out the front door, so I would leave my window open a little bit, and there was a big tree that went up my, you know, it was a second-story window, but she'd just jump up the tree and jump off the tree branch and go in and out that way. So I'd always hear this big thud when she was jumping in to come home. But she, yeah, she was the, she was quite the champion of the hairball, I call it the hairball expulsion. But also bringing in rodents is quite a little trick that cat owners have to experience. I mean, once in a while with a dog, too, but it can be nasty. But I guess you got to figure, look, they went out there, they're trying to get you something. Maybe they're getting you some food.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a special gift. I mean, this cat, this 9-pound cat brought in this rodent one time, and she left it right on my drawing table. So I'd see it. It was the most awful thing I'd ever seen. It was bigger than a rat. I don't know what it was.
Oh, dear. Well, so are these perceived as something that they just haven't quite eaten yet, and they're showing us their dinner? Or is there something else more specific for why cats?
One thing I'd read, I found this interesting. One idea is that... you know, especially a female, I noticed with my female, she was more of a hunter than the males that I've had. And they say, especially, a female, she's always, you know, with kittens, she's going to be going out and catching little mice and things. They'll take them back to their kittens and kill them in front of the kittens because they're showing them how to do it.
Sure.
Also providing food. Now, but, you know, now a lot of our cats are neutered. So they say if you have a female that's spayed, they still have that sense of needing to go get things and train the kittens. This is a book I read about this. It said they don't have a kitten, so you sort of play the role of this big kitten for them, and they feel like you need to learn how to hunt. I've got to show you how to do this. I'm trying to think of in the cat mind, here's this large human, it's sort of a overgrown kitten.
Yes, right.
I think it's definitely a caring action. Either they're bringing you food or trying to train you to take care of yourself. I mean, you know, it's a gift, too. I mean, you think of them going out and killing this thing and dragging it all the way home for you. I mean, I know they want to give it to you.
Yes.
They don't know how to buy flowers for you. They got to get you a dead rodent.
Oh, yum. Well, you know, I, for many years, Willie was an indoor cat, and I wonder if other people would relate that if the cat cannot get outside and doesn't have any rodents, will they present substitutes? Do you have any experience with your cats bringing you something besides, let's say, a dead mouse?
Well, Ava is our little cat, and we get her a lot of little toy mice with, you know, that have fur on them and stuff, and, she has been known, especially we like to, if we can, put catnip on there, too, to make it exciting. But
mm-hmm.
We just came home the other day, and my daughter's 8 years old, and she said, Mom, they even bit the head off the toy mouse and left it for us. I mean, she'll bite him and gnaw off the head and take it apart and leave it by the bed.
Yeah.
I figured that's a present. And also, insects, Ava's really good at, she'll get these big beetles and kill them and leave them by my bed where I can see them.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know, it is funny, though. I mean, you know, practically speaking, if you have a cat, I mean, I've known a few people said, oh, I have a problem with mice in my apartment. I got to get some traps. I'm like, get a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take care of it for you. And they will. I mean, when one of my cats had passed on and I didn't have a cat, I noticed all of a sudden I had a lot more bugs in the house. I mean, I'm very good at insectivores. No pesticides.
Yes, exactly. Well, now, one of the excuses that you relate in your book is, speaking, you know, from a cat's point of view, I can't do what you want because my ears are rotating.
Yeah, the ear thing, it's really funny. It was funny. I just ran across this fact recently. I love this. This is true. I mean, the number of bones in a human ear, I can't remember the number, but I mean, we have a certain number of bones, like 50 bones in
mm-hmm.
our ears. And cats have like 400 bones in their ears. I mean, infinitesimal little bones, those aren't the right numbers, but they really can move. You notice with some cats, and their hearing, of course, is so acute, so they're always listening to see what's going on out there. Not that they can do much about it, but they want to find out what's going on out there.
Right.
But, and I... this one cat I had, Boots, I mean, the ears would just go round and round and round, and she'd sit sit there completely still, and just the ear, and I said, they look like antenna.
Yes.
And she's picking up all this information from outer space or something. But, you know, cats are designed to be able to move their ears that way. They really are.
And sometimes I've wondered, though, watching it, is it really a listening behavior, or are they just twitching? It looks so silly sometimes. But
yeah,
here's the fact that I came across also, that, you know, speaking of, well, they are listening, cats' ears can actually capture sounds from the environment in a far higher range than any that is detectable by the human ear. And what that translates into, they can detect 50 to 60 kilohertz, and a kilohertz refers to that sound frequency, the range of the frequency. So they can detect 50 to 60 kilohertz, whereas the upper end of our own human ears is approximately only 16 to 20 kilohertz. That is a huge difference.
Wow. So, you know, think of what they're hearing. I mean, we can only imagine.
Yes.
When you're seeing this ear rotation going on.
Yes, so I suppose they deserve a certain respect. When we're sitting there saying, why aren't you coming when I call, and they're sitting there rotating their ears, we should respect what they're listening to.
Specially designed to do all kinds of things. It's funny too, like the other thing I noticed, there's one cartoon in there and it says I'm flat. There's this whole cats being flat thing that has always fascinated me.
You mean lying out flat?
They can lie down flat and get so flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of like they're like a pancake, and when it gets, the hotter it gets, the flatter they get laying outside. And I just read this, that cats don't really have a collarbone. And that's part of it, like their neck, you know, like their neck is so different than ours, because with us, you know, you can't squeeze through things because we've got this big, you know, big bone there. They
yes.
don't have that. I mean, I've seen a cat squeeze under a fence, you think, how could they possibly get small enough to do it? But their bones just sort of move around and they can squish themselves through. It's incredible.
Yes, a great adaptation, so they can move and they can get into tiny places. Well, that's wonderful, actually. You know, I never thought about that. When, you know, you have a cat who squeezes himself into, like, a Kleenex box.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how did they do that?
Well, we used to have kittens that would, you know, I mean, and when we got Angel, we couldn't find her, and we got really worried, and finally, what am I going to do? We just got this kitten. We can't find her. I've got a little girl. And then I opened this huge cabinet drawer. I just thought to look in there where all these videos were, and she was inside it, asleep. She got in some hole underneath it and squished through.
Yeah. Yes. That's one.
It's a total mystery. I don't know how she did it.
One of the other charming things. Well, something I noticed also looking back at the photographs that, you know, we're kind of referring to. And by the way, if you're just joining us, if you are on TalkZone.com, just click on the purple Look While You Listen button, and that will take you to my website. And the Look While You Listen feature, the page of photographs. But number two, photograph two, shows one of the cartoons that you have on your website. And it's remarkable, Molly. With a few strokes of your pen, you capture so well the fine little nuances of cat behaviors.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And by the way, everyone, the phone lines are open if you'd like to join our conversation and share one of your own cat's odd behaviors or an excuse that you think they have. And that phone number is 888-463-6748. That's also 888-GO-FOR-IT. But if you're like me and you prefer the numbers, let me repeat that. It's 888-463-6748. Again, the phone lines are open. You can call in and talk to us. We are going to take a short break right now. Please stay tuned and think about what you might want to call in and talk about with us. We'll be back with more right after this.